You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Next up, Aotearoa's culture of masculinity and gender is notoriously troublesome in a lot of ways. Projects are arising to combat such rigid roles, such as Shifting the Line from the University of Auckland. Its first round of workshops started way back in 2017, but those findings are still relevant today. I spoke to Chris Taylor, one of the researchers, about what's happened in the interim, where we go from those results, and the intricacies of the project. I started by asking Chris to give us an overview of the project.
In 2017 and 2018, we ran a series of workshops with boys and young men in schools in Tamaki Makaurau. We were looking at ways to engage them with issues of sexism, harassment, gendered violence, and so on. And we did that in a way that was, we think, a little bit different to what's out there at the moment. So we went in with the boys and we got them to sort of tell us what it's like to be 15 and 16-year-old boys navigating quite difficult terrain, especially around issues of like online culture. So we had a particular focus on the sharing and on-sharing of nude imagery, as well as things like more generally sexism and so on. And so it was different in the sense that we got them to act as experts and tell us what was going on for them, because as older researchers and people who haven't been in school for a long time, it's quite useful to know what is actually going on for those young people. And they responded really well to that. They engaged, I think, setting up an environment for young boys in particular where they feel like they're going to be listened to and taken seriously is refreshing. And a lot of the feedback that we got said, you know, they were saying, we've never had an experience like this. We haven't been able to talk about these topics before. So that's it in a nutshell. Obviously, there's a lot of detail there. But yeah, essentially running a series of workshops with boys in school.
What were the kind of key findings, things that people might find particularly interesting?
There were some surprises and some things that were perhaps not so surprising. One of the big surprises for me was, as I said, how much the boys engaged with the topics. I was the facilitator for all of the workshops, except for one, and I found that I left feeling much more optimistic about the state of the youth. So, as I said, they found it kind of rewarding, I guess, and engaged in ways that showed a lot of sensitivity and critical thinking around issues. So that was one big surprise. Things that were perhaps less surprising but were important findings nonetheless were that boys really rely on feedback and peer interaction. So in terms of what we're trying to do in an intervention with getting boys to be upstanders and respond to sexism in their own peer groups, we found that it was really, really important to intervene in a kind of culture that boys circulate within. So that means finding ways to get the boys to be aware that, you know, they might not be the only one who feels uncomfortable when somebody makes a joke. And in fact, research shows that if you have a group of men, it turns out that the majority of them might feel uncomfortable, but find it difficult to speak up about that. And so I think that was a really important finding. The other thing was that there was a really strong awareness of the problems around nude sharing and receiving nude imagery, but perhaps not so much the kind of the ramifications of this on sharing and damage that can do to the people who have the image shared, but also the ramifications of what that actually means for the people who do the on sharing. Like the legality of that is something that I think a lot of people aren't actually necessarily aware of. And I guess the overall larger finding that I think is really important is that this way of working with boys proved to be very effective. We got responses from boys that you don't see a lot, and as you would have seen in the report, there was a lot of really candid discussion about issues of sexism and gender. You know, I mean, I think a lot of the time we think that men don't have a gender. They do. It's called masculinity, and these boys were really adept at describing what they could or couldn't do under the rules of masculinity, and they responded really well. I think that it shows that there is a hunger for young people to talk about these issues. And I think that they're aware and they're ready to have these discussions. And
was it geographically limited? Was it just across Tamaki Makaurau? Did you find kind of there were geographical differences, maybe in different socioeconomic conditions or cultural conditions, or was it pretty homogenous across?
Yeah, we did different decile schools. and one school leavers group, so a group of boys who were recent leavers from school who were heading to university. I'd say overall, not really, that there weren't a lot of differences. I mean, we would love to run the workshops. I mean, I'm from the South Island. I'd love to run workshops in the South Island where attitudes might be slightly different, although they might not be. I mean, one of the big things that I noticed was in higher decile schools, it was clear that the boys had been told a lot more about what was okay and not okay behavior. But what I found personally in running those workshops is often there was a sort of knee-jerk response. So I'll give you an example. They would talk about the on-sharing of nude imagery, or, you know, sexting, as some people might know it as. And I would ask them, you know, what's the solution to some of these problems? And they would say, just don't do it. And that would be their knee-jerk response. And that was something that they'd been hearing repeatedly in school assemblies and in, you know, guest speakers and everything else. But once you dig a little bit deeper into that and you say, okay, but you're a teenager, when people tell you not to do something, do you actually not do it? And they say, oh no, not really. And so you'd start to pick it apart. I mean, I think that was really interesting because, you know, the higher decile schools, perhaps there's this idea that they're being very proactive about these things, but if you're delivering it in a way that doesn't engage young people, they'll just end up with the talking points and it won't change behavior.
And what is the kind of landscape of this research in Aotearoa? You mentioned that the boys reported that they hadn't had this kind of experience before. Are there any projects that have sprouted as a result of this intervention? I mean, it's a refreshing perspective to have the workshops target young boys instead of young girls.
Well, I mean, that's really where the idea for the workshop came out of. Originally, the broader team, before I came on board, had been running workshops with girls in girls' schools around sort of feminist groups and these issues of harassment. And it became clear through that research that changes aren't going to be made unless you address the people who are actually doing the bad behavior. It's all well and good to kind of support people who are going through it, but if we want to really change the behavior, we need to address the groups who are, you know, doing the majority of the harm here. In terms of future programs of research, so I received the Whitinga Fellowship, so I'm doing postdoctoral research now. We're looking at extending the workshop model to kind of refine it, run it more broadly, perhaps, as I say, run it in some other areas. And at the moment, we're doing a series of key informant interviews with people who work in the sexual violence prevention sector, just to get an idea about what's needed in this space, what works, what doesn't work, and those sorts of things. And that's going to help inform where we go to next. But yeah, there is more work on its way.
And the project has kind of a discussion of men speaking out about domestic violence or sexual harassment and other issues that historically disproportionately affect women. What was the feedback in terms of when and how men should be speaking as allies rather than maybe taking up space for women to speak about issues that affect them? Was that something that participants felt was a difficult issue or maybe a barrier because they don't know how to approach it delicately? Or was it something that wasn't even really considered by them?
Something that we found is, you know, we were working with boys who were already ostensibly interested in these issues to begin with. But what we did find is in our kind of pilot workshops, we found that some of the boys didn't have as much of an understanding of what sexism looks like. And in particular, we were looking at mundane kind of everyday forms of sexism rather than those kind of bigger issues, because it's a really good way to engage them. And you know, once it was pointed out to them and once we got into the complexity and nuance of what that looks like, they responded really well. But there is a real barrier. As I said, the peer group thing can really interfere with ideas of being a you know, active bystander intervention or upstanding or whatever we want to call it. And so that can really shut down their responses. And it's not to say that they don't want to. Like, we had an approach that looked at trying to encourage them to act ethically. So, you know, rather than necessarily looking at it through a specifically gendered lens, we were trying to engage them in a conversation around ethics and what kind of people they would like to be. So they could identify what was ethically right and what was wrong, or what made them feel uncomfortable or what was tricky and difficult. But they're still operating within an environment where there are really strong peer norms and social messages about how men should behave, and they have to live in that world. And, you know, it's not always easy to engage. We're not trying to make these boys into heroes and get them to, like, go out and save the world. What we really want them to do is just notice these kind of quite subtle and sometimes difficult to spot, if you're a young boy, some of these inequalities and outcomes, and get them to recognize it first, and then, you know, they can look at changing their behavior or their friend's behavior. But not going out and sort of lecturing people or trying to be a hero or being the mansplainer or, you know, whatever brochureist kind of thing. So, you know, we're really trying to make subtle changes. We call it ripples in the pond. We're trying to get like small changes that ripple out into their peer groups. We don't want them to go out and alienated from their friend group or else, you know, get into lecturing women about what feminism looks like or, you know, those sorts of really cringeworthy outcome.
And are there any upcoming ways that people can maybe take part or support the project or maybe even projects like it? You mentioned your postdoctoral research.
I mean, I'd recommend we're looking at putting out some resources. It's one of the things that we're really keen to. People who are interested can email me. My email is on the University of Auckland website under Chris Taylor if they'd like to get in touch with me. One of the things that we're keen to do at the moment is we're collecting lots of media that engages young people. So that can include things like social campaigns, YouTube videos. TikTok is really big, even though, you know, I don't really know what it is or how it works or any of those things. But there is an interesting discussion on, for example, TikTok, young people putting up videos where they're dissecting some of these. Getting involved in that way, like sending us through resources, would be really useful. The other thing to do is just have a look at the website. So it's shiftintheline.ac.nz. Just seeing what we're doing, and you know, all our contact information is on there, so feel free to get in touch. We have advertised at the moment for University of Auckland students a summer scholarship, which will allow one student to work with us over the summer on doing some of this work. It will give them an introduction to qualitative research methods. It will get them involved with the team and help them to do some networking and all of the other sort of stuff. So they can find that on the University of Auckland website. Under the summer scholarships for the psychology school.
That was me speaking with Chris Taylor from the University of Auckland about the project Shifting the Line and the effective delivery of messages to youth. It's a refreshing perspective working with young men to combat sexism. You can find out more about it at shiftingtheline.ac.nz, and if you're a University of Auckland student, check out the science scholarship that he was talking about.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.